How many enjoyed that music? Isn't that wonderful? I want to thank each of you that had a part in that. I have looked forward to coming to the Franktown Church for a long time. I know several people here and have been here a number of times, but I've not had the opportunity to preach here before. And so I've looked forward to the opportunity to be with you folks today. I wanted to thank Pastor Jamie for inviting me to come and share today. I have gotten acquainted with him in the last few months and have been very appreciative of the work that he does. And when I look at your bulletin and find that you also have Mark Bond as an associate pastor, I'd say you guys got it about as good as anybody in the conference. And you should, right? You know, I love the testimony that I heard today about passing out literature. A lot of churches have gotten away from going out and sharing things in the communities. And when I heard that story, when I heard that testimony, my heart was encouraged. And I pray that the rest of you felt the same way. You know, another thing that I think you guys have going for you in this area, and I'm not just saying this, and if you follow me around on the preaching circuit, you'll know that I don't say this every time, but I really, truly believe that you guys also have one of the best teachers that we have in our conference, and that's Carrie. She has a love for young people that you just can't help but notice if you spend any time around her. And I was much encouraged and pleased that you guys have decided to keep your school open longer here. I also would be remiss if I didn't thank Jaden for the scripture reading today. Folks, I believe, and when I pastored over at Denver South, people can vouch, every week we had young people on the platform. Got to get our young people more involved. It's something that we are committed to in our conference. Our young people are the most important asset that we have in the church. We ought to be putting more money, time, and energy into our young people. Okay? So I just tell you that right up front. It's a privilege today. I was sitting here and a longtime friend came in that I hadn't seen for many years. And I was just glad to have Lynn come and sit by us. And she just moved into Franktown not too long ago. No, up into Parker, but not far away. But it's just good to have Lynn here with us this Sabbath as well. What I'd like to do is have you bow your heads one more time as we get ready to open up the Lord's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for your Word. We get hope and encouragement as we read through it. And Father, as we open your pages today, I just pray that your Spirit will speak to the hearts and the minds of every single one of us here. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I don't know about you, but as I look around the world today, I am absolutely convicted and convinced that Jesus Christ is coming soon. I don't care what, if you're watching TV, watching the news, if you're reading the newspaper, if you simply get on your computer, you can't help but realize that Jesus Christ is coming soon. What is the thing that we've heard about in the last couple of weeks so much? Ebola, okay? To me, just one more sign that indicates that things are different in the world than they used to be and that Jesus Christ is coming soon. How about the riots that we've seen down in Missouri for some time? There's the Pope's overtures for unity. To me, just one more sign. Folks, if you're not seeing those signs being fulfilled, I challenge you to take your Bibles out and read Matthew 24, and I will challenge you to find anything in Matthew 24 that actually hasn't happened yet. Folks, Jesus Christ is coming soon. I don't believe you can miss it today. I had a neighbor in Minnesota where we were living before moving here that came to my house not long before we left. He's a Lutheran gentleman. And he said, you know, Ed, he said, I got to tell you, he says, I think Jesus Christ is coming soon. And I thought it was interesting that my neighbor is seeing that and telling me that. Since I've been here, I was invited to a special occasion at a church up on the north side of Denver, up in Loveland, is the Church of the Latter-day Saints. They had a special program where they recognized one of our Seventh-day Adventists for the work they had done with the flooding that took place just over a year ago up there in the Loveland area. They asked me to come and speak. That night, they set me beside the president of the ward for the Latter-day Saints there in that area. As we're eating supper together, he turns to me and he says, "You know, Ed," he says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon." I can tell you, folks, that a lot of people, at least here in the United States, recognize the world is different today and that Jesus is coming soon. I find it interesting how people react to that. And I'm going to just tell you a couple of stories. I had flown back to Chicago. I had to go and interview a couple of guys in the seminary. So I flown back to Chicago. I was just going to be there overnight. I interviewed the guys that evening. The next morning, I had to get up early and go from Berrien back to the airport in Chicago. And if you've ever traveled in Chicago, the roads are absolutely terrible there. So I said, I'm going to leave bright and early from Berrien Springs to make sure I get over there in time. Well, it happened to be one of those rare days coming into Chicago that there wasn't as much traffic as I had anticipated. And I remember looking at my watch and saying, man, I've got an hour yet. And just about that time, I saw a big sign there along the freeway that said Cabela's. Now, I do not like shopping, but if I'm going to go shopping, I would choose Cabela's, okay? How many of you here have literally been in a Cabela's? Let me see your hands. Okay, at least half of the hands went up. It's a hunting, camping, fishing, you name it, they have it in Cabela's. To me, it's kind of the man's store to go to. I went into Cabela's, walked all around the lower level in Cabela's, and I always like looking at all of the animals that they have. I like looking at the aquarium, all of those kinds of things. Well, I realized I still had some time, so I said, I'm going to go up to the second floor. I went up to the second floor, and I was shocked at what I saw there in that Cabela's. There were queue lines that they had built there in the store because there were so many people waiting in line to get permits for guns. I had never seen that in my life, and I've been in Cabela's a lot of times. That took place soon after the event at Sandy Hook. You remember the people that went into the elementary or to the kindergarten and killed, I don't know, 15, 20 people. Folks, things are different in the world than they used to be. My wife and I were in Sam's, and we were shopping, and we were in the grocery section of Sam's, walking down the aisle, pushing the cart, and there was, at the end of one of the aisles, there was some big white buckets about like this, and it had a red lid on it and red writing on it. I saw the sign above, it said $99, and I wondered, what in the world are in these buckets? So I went and took a closer look, and in the bucket was 30 days of dried food, okay? People are buying those up, filling their basements in different places so that they can be prepared for the days that lie ahead. And I'll tell you what, it makes me nervous because even some Seventh-day Adventists that I know think that somehow they're going to take care of themselves throughout the time of trouble before Jesus comes. And that makes me a little bit nervous. I'm going to tell you two more stories. Friend in Minnesota, I got to be careful because he worked in the conference office there. He got me aside one day and he said, Ed, he says, I got to tell you something. I said, what do you want to share? And he says, well, he says, I have a stockpile of food, so when we go through the time of trouble, I want you to know you have a place you can come to. And not only that, listen to this. I have 50-gallon barrels of gasoline stored around my house in different places as well, because I'm not going to run out of gas when no one else can buy gas. That makes me nervous. What is behind that? Somehow, some way, I'm going to be able to take care of myself during the time of trouble before Jesus comes. I have a friend right here in Denver. was a member of mine in a church that I pastored not too long ago. I went to his house since I've been back. He went up in his attic and he pulled out something. He's all excited. He wanted to show me the latest thing that he had gotten. A shotgun that he had ordered illegally through Russia that would shoot 20 shells before the first casing hit the ground. And he even told me, I'm going to be able to protect myself. Folks, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is coming soon. But there's no way that I can protect myself through that time. I want you guys to take your Bibles out. We're going to do a Bible study that I have found very interesting. I got to tell you, folks, that every year, one of my devotional periods during the day, I read through God's Word every year. A year ago, late in the year, I was getting near the end of the Old Testament. I was doing a reading process where I read so many chapters in the Old Testament and then some in the New. I was getting near the end of the Old Testament, and I came across these verses in Habakkuk. So I want you to get your Bibles or your iPhones or whatever you use to look up God's Word, because I want you guys to follow along. I'm going to ask you some questions at time. I'm going to need your input, okay? Habakkuk, the second chapter, and we're going to begin with verse 1. And as you're finding the little book of Habakkuk, it's an interesting one to find. I cheated and put a bookmarker in mine today. I want to give you a little bit of background of what happens in chapter 1. In chapter 1, Habakkuk has been called to be a prophet of God. Habakkuk has made several predictions, and the predictions are not coming true. Now, folks, if you claim to be a prophet of God, and you say something's going to happen, and it's not happening, what do people start to think? That you're a false prophet, right? So Habakkuk is getting frustrated with God because he says, God, you've given me these messages. I've preached them faithfully, but they're not happening. Okay? So that's the background as we get to chapter 2. Now watch what happens in verse 1. Habakkuk speaking, he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he's talking about God, what God will say to me, and what I will answer when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his what? The just shall live by his faith. So Habakkuk is in an interesting situation. He's gotten frustrated with God, and now we find him here in verse 1, setting up on the rampart, saying, I am simply going to stay here till God gives me an answer to my concerns. So what I want you to do is we're going to go back through and look at each verse individually now. Notice verse 1, I will stand my watch, set myself on the rampart. The rampart was usually the highest part in the city. He says, I'm going to perch myself up here where I can look over this city, and I am going to wait for God to give me an answer. He says in the rest of the verse, and watch to see what he will say to me. And notice the last part, and I love this, and what I will answer when I am what? Reproved. Does Habakkuk realize that God is going to disagree with him? Does he realize that God's, in a sense, going to get after him because of his attitude and what he's done? What does he say again? And what I will answer when I am reproved. When God gets after me, I wonder how I'm going to respond. Notice verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So God comes to him and he says, I'll tell you what. He says, what I want you to do is find some big tablets. I don't know if they were stone or if they were wood. He said, again, I want you to write these prophecies, these predictions down, so when it starts to happen, that people will be able to run and get out of here. Okay? So it's interesting to see Habakkuk waiting for God. Then God shows up. God tells him what to do. Notice verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. In other words, what you're writing down, it's going to happen, but it's going to happen down the way. But at the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Folks, I want to make something clear to you. As Habakkuk is writing this in verses 2 and 3, he is not talking about the second coming of Jesus. If you read the whole book, you'll find what he's talking about here is he has predicted, God has told him that the Chaldeans are going to come and they're going to destroy Judah. So that's what he's writing on these tablets. Okay? Keep that in mind as we move forward. Verse 4, behold the proud. Now, folks, are the proud God's people? No. Okay, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. He's not right with God. He's thinking of himself, okay? And notice the last part of verse 4. But the just, are the just God's people? The just are God's people. But the just shall live by his what? Faith. That was the part of these verses that initially caught my attention. The just shall live by his what? By his faith. To me, it's interesting. Most of the time, people think that you only find salvation by faith in the New Testament. And so it caught my attention here in the Old Testament. It says, but the just, God's people, shall live by his faith. So my question for you today is, and I don't want you to answer out loud, is can these verses in Habakkuk 2 be applied to the second coming of Jesus? Okay? Can these verses in Habakkuk be applied to the second coming of Jesus? Listen carefully. The early Adventists, not Seventh-day Adventist, the early Adventists. What do Adventists, what does it mean? Those that believe in the soon coming of Jesus, right? So back in 1844, before there was anything known as a Seventh-day Adventist, the early Adventists that were preaching Jesus is coming soon, and then went through the great disappointment because they thought Jesus was going to come October 22. Jesus didn't come. The people were disappointed. And what happened? Some of them said, we did something wrong. They went back to God's Word to study it more closely. And it's interesting, these early Adventists took these verses and simply applied them to the second coming of Jesus. Don't answer, but do you think that it's all right to do that? These verses were written to warn Judea that the Chaldeans were coming to destroy them. The early Adventists took these verses and said, you know, it applied there, but we can also apply it to the second coming of Jesus. Let's take a look and see what we can find. Three times these verses are quoted in the New Testament. So let's take a look at those quotations. First of all, let's go to Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter, and we're going to find Paul here quoting from Habakkuk, the second chapter. Romans, the first chapter, and we're going to look at verse 17. Romans 1, 17. Everyone got it? Okay. Romans 1, 17, it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what? by faith. In my Bible, it's interesting because it says in the margin, Habakkuk 2:4. Here we find Paul quoting from Habakkuk 2, verse 4, saying that the just shall live by faith. So that's the first place you find that it's quoted. Let's go to the second place. Let's go to Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians, the third chapter, and this time we're going to look at verse 11. Galatians 3 and verse 11, and it's quite similar to what we found in Romans. Notice what it says. Galatians, the third chapter, verse 11. But that no one is justified by what? No one's justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For, quote, the just shall live by what? Faith, unquote. And again, in my Bible, it has written in Habakkuk 2:4. Okay, so twice we've seen Habakkuk 2:4 quoted in the New Testament. And all it talks about so far has been the just shall live by faith. But something interesting happens in Hebrews. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews and let's look at chapter 10. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to begin with verse 35. And I want you guys to listen carefully. Listen to see if you hear anything like we heard back in Habakkuk, the second chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 35. Notice what it says. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. And I'll challenge you sometime to study. What is this reward that it's talking about? Verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What do you think the promise is? What is the promise talking about here? Anyone want to guess what the promise is? Talk to me. Somebody said it right over here. It's talking about the great promise of the second coming. Okay, now notice what it says. For yet a little while, and he, talking about God, who is coming, will come and will not tarry. Have you heard some of those words before? Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. To me, it's interesting that in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it goes back and takes these verses in Habakkuk, the second chapter, and simply and directly applies them to what? The second coming of Jesus. So to me, it's exciting. You can take the verses in Habakkuk. You can take them and apply them to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. So I want to take a few minutes and see if we can make this very simple. First of all, Jesus is coming soon. You can count on it, okay? Yes, he has tarried, but he will come. You can count on it happening because God has said that it's going to happen. The second thing, there is only one way to make it into the kingdom of God, and that is to have faith in Jesus. Isn't that pretty simple? Jesus is coming. The only thing you can do is to have faith in Jesus, in my opinion, to take you through the time of trouble, but also to simply get you into your heavenly home. I love the part that says, the just, God's people, shall live by faith. This means to me, faith in his promises, and faith that he will get me through the time of trouble. I get nervous when people try to figure out how to save themselves when it comes to the end of time. I believe that Jesus and Jesus alone will save us. I don't think any of us begin to realize how terrible the time of trouble will be. If you don't believe me, read through the book of Revelation. But I believe that Jesus will guide and direct us through that time. You know, to me it's interesting. My Bible tells me that our bread and water will be sure. Do I need to stockpile food? Or do I need to rely on Jesus who says, I will take care of your food and water? I find it interesting that my God in the Old Testament was able to bring water out of a rock so that the people had something to drink. When people were hungry, you can read stories how God used ravens to bring food to his people. Folks, you can only trust your life with someone you know really well. Isn't that right? I'm not going to put my life in somebody's hands if I don't really know them well. So the key is, how well do you know Jesus? Do you know him well enough that you say, you know what? I put my life in your hands. Folks, there's only one way to get to know someone that well, and that is to spend time with him every single day. Next year in our conference, we're going to make a push for all of our people to put more time in God's Word. Folks, when you put time in his Word, you're spending time with him. It's only when you know him really well that you say, you know what, Jesus, just put me in your hands and take care of me. So my question to you today is this: do you know Jesus that well? Isn't that what it boils down to? Do you know Jesus that well? I invite you to start walking with him every day. Spend time in his Word. Spend time on your knees every day. Go back through your Bible. Look at the marvelous stories of how God has led and protected his people in the past. And it will give you courage as we march into these last days here on this earth. I can tell you, Jesus is coming soon. We do have trying times before us. But I guarantee you that God can save you. He can take care of you no matter what happens on this earth. Don't let the fear of what lies ahead keep you from simply giving your life into his hands every day. You know, my Bible says clearly in both the Old and New Testament that the just shall live by faith.
Dear Heavenly Father, we love you again. We want to thank you for your word.
We pray that each one of us here will spend time with Jesus every day. Help us to be willing to put our lives in your hand. And Father, again, we just pray that you will come quickly, that you will come soon, and that each one of us will have a home in heaven with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.